Backseat Producers, episode number 273, Star Trek Into Darkness.
Is sitting around a table telling penis jokes, like recursive penis jokes.
So why is this any different than 29?
I'll tell you what,
guess
though.
It's not.
You've just confirmed
it wasn't
that
until
it's
32
no
that I started listening to music for nostalgic purposes. I never did that.
Ooh.
That was scary. So it's like, there's no way I'd be listening to this.
That's because you didn't have the internet growing up. Now I'm nostalgic about things that happened like 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's not happened to me yet.
You don't spend as much time with that,
I
don't
think. I guess not.
Your experience scope is too
long. Oh, but what can be nostalgic about the internet? I remember when I read that article on that Tuesday in 2010.
I remember that meme.
Yeah.
I mean,
remember how much fun we had when we did this?
Remember,
we don't do that anymore.
Remember Chocolate Rain?
Oh my gosh, someone brought that up I was listening to Twit at work, and someone brought that up, Chocolate Rain, this week.
Remember when 2400 baud modems supplanted 300 baud modems?
Actually, no, I don't. I don't know.
I do. Cartridge Farm stuff.
I had a 300 baud modem from my Commodore 64.
Smoking. Yeah. Commodore 64, man.
In the,
I remember Jumpman.
In the nostalgia EP war, you're a general. I mean, you're a general.
General douchebag. Yeah, so
I remember things were old and they weren't better. I got a haircut the other day and it was the worst experience ever because the woman behind me across the way, why is everything so expensive now? Everything's always changing. Things are so different now. Hey, fuck you. Grow up. Things change.
Things do
that
change.
That happens.
Jesus, when we went to see Iron Man 3, they opened, so I'm buying concessions and everybody's waiting in long lines and a line opens up. So I go slip into that other line. This woman darts out in front of me. She darts out in front of me. And she's like doing one of those, sorry, you know, kind of.
What are you going to do?
So she's like, she gets up there. She starts trying to order. She's like, well, isn't there a discount if you order more stuff? And he's like, not. He said, ma'am,
it's not a warehouse.
He's like, ma'am. The way this works is the combos really don't save you any money. It's just a convenient way of ordering things. Flat out. Totally
that guy is awesome.
Truth in advertising.
I'm behind him going like this. She's like, well,
I never.
Can you believe charging $8 for a soda?
Yeah.
And, the movie theater.
And she's like just bitching up a storm. It's like going to be $16 for a combo or whatever.
And you're going to pay it.
And her like husband, I think, walks up and she's like, can you believe this? Can you believe that it's going to cost this much? Well, do you even want anything? He said, yeah, I want a soda.
Give me a number one.
She's like,
give me a combo.
Well, I'm going to pay it, but I'm not happy about it. I'm like, lady,
nobody cares.
I stopped listening after I'm going
to
pay it.
The guy walks away to go make the soda. She turns around to me and she's like, can you believe it? And Holden's standing right next to me. She's like, can you believe it? I said, you realize that concessions how movie theaters make their money, right? And like,
film's a lost
reading leader. Her the company line.
Did her
basically.
Face melt or did she get mad?
Oh, she was like, oh, well, look, that's how they make their money. I can't blame them. You know what? We're
people
captive
are gonna
here.
Pay for it.
Yeah. You're in my way, and you're wasting my time.
Yeah.
So
heard though, and I don't know if it's true that tickets at Ronnie's now on a Friday night are gonna run $15.
Ouch.
No. I don't know if that's true or not.
No, the it's
for a 3D one maybe,
no.
But
no,
that sounds appropriate.
The those movie bistro things at Wareham are $16.
Yeah,
those
that's what it is.
Bucks.
Okay.
And that's because
I was like,
the AMC ones are.
I went to Chase Park to see Star Trek, and it was a good experience. The screen's smaller and stuff, though, and you know it's pretty cheap. And I thought I'm never going back out to Ronnie's again. It's going to cost that much.
No, it doesn't cost that much.
So we saw Silver Linings Playbook at West Olive, which they've converted completely to the recliners,
the pork and
all yeah. Like
every single theater. You can't see a normal movie there. I mistakenly bought tickets for that. We haven't seen another movie in a normal theater since.
Really?
Assigned seating, so I can show up when the movie starts, and I've got my seat, and I don't.
That's pretty nice.
It's great,
and yeah, it's full croissant service too. Yeah.
But if you can wait 5 months and you have a nice enough television, you can just watch it on a big screen at home.
If you
want
to wait,
that's
I pay so that people online won't spoil me for what the movie's going to be.
Yeah,
it's worth it to me to pay for that not to be an issue.
That makes sense. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I like close it out. So
and what's great, like I'm seeing Man of Steel the night before it comes out.
Man of Steel, I've seen Man of Steel before then.
Yeah, I got the tickets to Walmart.
I don't know.
I got the tickets to Walmart. I'm paying $8 for a 7 o'clock movie.
Oh, come on, Tony.
It costs like $10.75 to go see a movie that time of night. Any other time?
Yeah, really more than.
So I'm seeing it early and I'm paying less.
Good move.
I've heard of this app. I thought you might be interested in this. It's called Z Plus. I haven't been able to find it or download it, but it
probably not.
It sounds suspicious.
Well,
it also stops you.
It was on that same episode of Twit, which I was, you know, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Z Plus is this. It's an app.
Is it own my IP?
Centers. It takes your left and right headphones, and it uses an algorithm to predict how your ear will interpret a sound coming from different areas in front of you. Or behind you. And so using that algorithm, it mimics 360-degree sound. And to demonstrate it, they're giving away the Man of Steel soundtrack on that app with that sound for a limited time and only that soundtrack. And I guess it's concurrent with the release of the movie. So I thought that sounded pretty cool.
I'll have to look for that one.
So you can hear like the whole, like you can hear sounds all over the place, not just left and right, which is pretty nice, I
guess. Yeah. All right, so I got this new app.
I worked at Deerberg's. What is it? Oh, it's a wood block.
It's the fake block.
It's the fake block. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Wait. I can change the wood, too. There's oak. There's birch with a small hole.
That sounds like birch. The oak doesn't sound deep enough.
No, but yeah.
I worked at Deerberg's. And they were on this big anti-drug kick. So they had all this literature around.
This is before they became pro-drug?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is when I worked there. And then I left, and then they became pro-drug. So of course.
What a bummer.
Yeah, I know, right?
they realized that screwed-up workers are happy workers.
Right.
So they were talking about all these symptoms. And, like, so they had an anecdote with all of them. And so people at the time, like, were really big into Robitussin as a way to get high, right? And so the anecdote that they related was, this kid went to the emergency room after overdosing on Tussin, and he was telling the doctor that he was hallucinating and he could see 360 degrees in all four quadrants. And I was like, that sounds awesome.
Yes.
This is not a deterrent.
He's phasing in and out of reality.
Yeah.
He was seeing things as they really were.
Start telling me about kids who, like, clawed out their own eyes. That's a deterrent. Yeah. This sounds awesome. This kid's my hero.
Or start voting Republican.
Goddamn, yeah, that would really be con.
Worse than that, you start becoming a conservative Republican.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
And reading the Bible.
Once you turn 30, you start voting conservative. That's the other thing I wanted to warn you about.
I don't vote.
Well, you're going to start.
I probably won't.
Once you turn 30.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. That social responsibility thing
starts kicking in.
I don't like the way the right wing is crucifying Chris Christie. He's the only one I identify with because he's a fat dude who just kind of doesn't give a shit.
He's a honey badger.
Crucifying Chris Christie, even though his name is Christy. But
I don't understand how they haven't put that together yet. You're never going to get closer to Christ enough in the White
House. He saved New Jersey.
You're really not.
Not going to get closer to Christ and Tony Soprano in the same.
That's true.
Christy, savior of New Jersey.
when he accepted federal aid, he multiplied the loaves of fish.
He did.
There you go.
He absolutely did.
Tony, are you getting this?
Yeah, we're recording every minute of this.
This is what happens when I wake up at 5, tired, fall asleep. It's probably my final broadcast. I'm probably going to die on my way home
from Banquet Dome.
We did that. All right, so do we need to do the last will and testament, Clinton?
No, I don't have anything. Oh, I will leave you my student loan debt.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Dick.
You're welcome. Tony, I'm excited to jam on Sunday.
Is this the
first? Yeah, but you don't have a drum boner.
Critical mass.
I don't have a drum boner.
First critical mass meeting.
Oh, that was 8 names ago.
What do you guys have?
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is David.
That's the name.
Yeah, this is the Backseat Producers.
Wow,
pretty vain.
Yes.
Name your band. Hey, this is Tony.
Hey, if you're gonna name a band. It was, yeah, we started Critical Mass. I mean,
yeah,
it's true, but that was that at least had some subtext.
I didn't even come up with that name.
All right, so the names that we've gone through, there was Canceled Threesome.
Canceled Threesome.
There was another one that was around that time.
Critical Mass was first.
Critical Mass was first. There was Canceled Threesome. Oh,
Big Jim. No, that was later.
That was later. The one that Sam came up with.
Off Constantly.
Off Constantly. Then there was the one that Luke started. There was the Erectioneers.
The Erectioneers. Then it was Big Jim.
Big Jim and the Erectioneers. Then there was the Warhammers.
Warhammers.
And most recently, the A New Starts. But new is spelled N-U instead of N-E-W.
Ooh.
Have you been, are you caught, did you catch up on season 4? All right, so.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to spoil something for you and for the rest
That's
of the
That's a post- mission of
it's
when we're and staying up late. That's one of our quests. We're gonna watch
you're the,
season.
You're the
four.
Worst.
You are a terrible person.
I know.
Starting to time.
Okay.
So no, I mean you're the worst. To keep.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I am. You're gonna have to cut this out.
I'm just gonna bleep.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll have to figure that out.
That's good. Yeah.
I'll just bleep it.
Arrested Development squeezed like 4 seasons worth of jokes out of just bleeping things at odd times.
Yeah. So, Tobias. Is going to have a new start. A-N-U-S-T-A-R-T. And he puts it on his license plate.
Wow.
Swallow a start. Oh, have you seen my license plate? No. Oh, goddamn. It's so good.
Okay, so
God
next...
Goddamn, Kristen Wiig.
Next week, we're going to go with... Beasts of the Southern Wild. Then we're doing Cloud Atlas.
Well, that seems kind of racist.
But then we're doing...
Man of Feel.
Is that when we're doing Man of Feel?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Man of Feel comes out on my brother's birthday.
Good for him.
Maybe.
Whatever.
So, you know what's really obnoxious about Man of Steel?
That I get to watch it the day before everybody else?
No, that's a little obnoxious. But more obnoxious is I've seen no less than 3 commercials that are comparing random professions around this country to Superman. I saw one with some just generic construction workers the other day. Superman. One inspires the other. I don't see how that's possible.
Wow.
One is as close as you're ever going to get to a god, and the other one builds buildings.
Those are creators, though.
I don't think Superman creates.
That's a stretch.
I think he destroys.
Except for the Fortress of Solitude, but he doesn't really create
that. Create that. He just kind of hangs out there. Yeah. He hasn't destroyed it yet.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's Grillionaires. It's coming.
All right, so this week we're talking about Into Darkness. N2 Darkness.
All right, first question. Does the name bother you?
The name of the movie?
Yeah.
Trek Into Darkness.
I didn't have a problem with it. I liked it. I thought it was semi-clever.
But, like, the Into, I don't like it. It seems like they should be separate. Like, Into Darkness. To Darkness.
No.
Into
no,
Darkness.
I don't,
he started
I don't
this campaign last week.
It's not a campaign, Tony.
I don't see that. The What is it? The preposition into that
I don't
seems
like
appropriate
it.
For?
It doesn't seem appropriate to me.
They go into darkness metaphorically.
Yeah,
and
but
literally.
When you say it, you're not saying into darkness. You're saying into darkness.
I don't say it that way.
You just did.
I don't think so.
If only we had some sort of recorded medium with which we could go back and listen. I'm going to cut
it's
it
a
out.
Shame
for,
we don't.
I know you won't, so I'm going to cut it out for you. I'm going to loop it, and I'm going to call you. I'm going to leave you a 20-minute voicemail.
You should bleep it out. Bleep that one out. Plus the part of our. And then bleep that out, too.
In fact, okay. Just bleep out the whole first 10 minutes of the
I would. In fact, bleep the part out where I said because I'm supposed to be a when I'm off doing things. So, yeah. And then just bleep all this out, too. Yeah.
There's going to be so much bleeping.
Daryl, what did you think of the movie?
I'm just going to cut the first. We're just going to start now.
Damn it, Tony. I was spinning gold.
Daryl, what did you think?
What did you think of the movie? Like a real review.
I enjoyed it. I was kind of disappointed in a couple spots, but they're that great action-adventure movie for the summer. Mm. A better-than-average Trek episode. Mm. And I'll get into some of my disappointments.
So my parents keep telling me to.
What'd you think?
I think that's all about them and their sex life. So here's the thing. I want to not like this movie, Tony. The intellectual in me has a lot of problems with things that they've done in this movie that I don't like, but I liked the movie. I have serious issues with some of the things they did.
It was a fun movie.
J.J. Abrams bothers me.
He Spielberged it.
He Spielberged it. You're right.
He Spielberged.
Oh, my God, Tony.
He Spielberged Star Trek.
You're singing the song of my soul. You know exactly what I want. It's Tony, the song of the universe.
I liked it. It is not the end-all, be-all. I don't think it was. It was a good movie. It was fun, but it had problems. And there was some specific plot problems it had. There was a whole lot of fan service,
yeah.
which almost got to the point of being distracting.
It depends on what you're talking about, because there were some things that I thought were broader than fan service. They were just good homages to some earlier stuff.
Yeah,
some
I think those are the same thing.
Some
I don't think
homages.
So, because I wouldn't call myself a Star Trek fan, but I caught the homages, and I thought they were cool.
Apparently, I didn't catch nearly all of them, because I've heard other people talking about some that I was like, completely over my head.
They probably went over my head, too. I'm thinking of one big one. It's pretty obvious, actually.
All right. I mean, everybody...
The flip on Star Trek 2.
Mm-hmm. A couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. But they're in a different... Whatever, they're on a parallel
it's a
timeline,
it's a different,
so...
It's a different universe.
Right, yeah.
It's not even the same time. It's not even a time travel...
No, it's not, but they remind you of the fact that they're in a different timeline when the original Spock went back in time and shifted the timeline, shows up and says, I'm the original Spock, I have something to tell you.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, he calls him out. He calls on him, which I heard
that
some
was
people,
weak. Oh, my God.
I heard some
weak.
People.
I didn't have a problem with it.
I heard some people really complaining about it, like it threw me out of the movie.
No.
Not if you watched the first movie.
If you've watched the first movie, yeah. You know what? Spock, who is a being of logic, calls on somebody who may have some insight about this guy. Hey, in your universe, did you have this con guy? Because he's kind of wreaking some havoc here.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch. I mean, granted, he had nothing else to do but call Spock, but I don't want to see that plot device used in every Star Trek movie from here on out.
No.
Oh, we have a conflict. Let's call old Spock.
Well, I would say if they did it every time, that would be a problem. But the fact that they did it once, I thought was pretty cool.
You know what? I would be even more fine if they, you know what, if they killed off Zachary Quinto and brought old Spock onto the Enterprise and just used him as like an advisor.
When did they call him on the first time?
The whole first movie.
The whole first movie is when he shifted the timeline. It was
no, I get that. So then he goes back and he invents the teleporter thing for Scotty, and then he's walking around and he's like, hey.
Look, you love time travel.
I do.
Back to the Future 2.
I want old Spock and new...
Back to the Future 2 is the only other movie I can think of that successfully went back into an older movie and created a new world out of it. Yeah. And Star Trek 1 did that. And I think that's pretty awesome. I dug it. And I even dig that they pulled it out of the hat for this movie. Although, a person I went to see it with who hadn't seen the first one said, oh, wow, Leonard Nimoy is playing Spock's father. That's cool. He didn't get that Spock was
Spock
because he didn't see the first movie. So I think if you haven't seen the first movie, you don't really understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Goddamn, Back to the Future 2 was really good.
It was. And Star Trek pulled it off. So I give them mad props.
It was fun. I didn't really have a problem with it.
I thought the movie was great, except the ending. I felt like they wrote themselves into a corner, and they were like, oh, crap, we have to finish this now in 20 minutes. And so they wrapped it up, broke a few of their own rules, and it was too tidy for me.
To be fair, that is kind of Star Trek in general, though.
Yeah.
For something that's going into darkness, yes.
There's for something that's going into darkness, yeah. It got pretty bright really fast.
I thought it was going to be a Zoe Saldana racist joke, but it didn't turn out to be that way.
What do you mean? You mean Kirk's death?
No. I thought the way they disposed of Khan broke a few of the rules that they had set up for him as a character.
In what way?
there are all kinds of ways in which they could not disarm or knock Khan cold, and yet with, you know, can-do attitude and two-on-one, they were able to pull it off. I didn't buy it, you know. And then on top of that,
he's half Vulcan, half human. All right.
Well, I know, but I mean, there were all kinds of things Khan did with huge pieces of machinery that didn't affect him at all, and I just felt that, you know, I just didn't buy that. Then wrapping all of it up really neatly when they could have opened up a few other directions for the plot to go, and they kind of referenced it openly. So they would, you know, push him out of your way, push him out of your head. One of the things that occurred to me was, well, when they put Khan's blood in Kirk, I thought, oh, this is a good way to
make Kirk a superhuman.
Well, I was thinking about taking the Centauri slug plot line from the original two and injecting it into relevance in this movie, because I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. They're going to put it in Kirk, and the guy in the first movie the first time you saw that blew up the archive. And I was like, oh, that's very interesting. I could see them going somewhere with that. But then they immediately dismiss it as a joke and they tie it all up and he hops back on the ship. And it just seemed to me like even the Wrath of Khan didn't let him get away with restoring Spock that easily. They made a whole other movie about it.
Yeah.
And You know, I'm actually okay with them restoring Kirk instantly, because that would have been really dumb to say.
Maybe commercially. But I think it would have been good writing.
I don't think so. They've already done it once. That would have, for his derivative,
this whole movie once before.
Well, they had story beats once before. It's not the same.
Yeah, it's, well,
so
all right.
Here's my problem. You talk about how they broke their own rules. Yeah. Why is there no working teleporter anywhere? Like, 90% of the conflicts in this movie are solved by a working teleporter. And you're telling me on the entirety of Earth, there is no working teleporter? Why?
Well, it is London, you know, when they're down there. Just teasing. I don't know.
Especially with Scotty's formula. They cannot teleport all halfway across the goddamn universe. You're telling me nobody anywhere has a teleporter?
No.
It's so
Daryl,
dumb.
What were you going to say?
Daryl, go.
All right. A couple of disappointments
I had
with this movie. Considering the brain power they had available for production, writing direction.
This is right here. Go on. I'm right with
Why
you.
The heck can't they come up with something more original than just reaching back to an episode, granted it was a popular episode, but they can do something more original than Space Seed and Wrath of Khan. For God's sakes. It was a nice idea, but I was looking for something more original. Now, they pulled it off, but they...
You're not going to get anything original as Star Trek.
Well,
you're not.
That's just it, though.
You're not going to get anything original out of anything that happens in Star Trek, because they've done everything.
The first movie was pretty original, though. I don't have a problem with the Khan thing, because I didn't know anything about the movie going into it. And when that happened, when he started explaining his backstory, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
He's Khan. Like, yeah. And that was a great moment for me.
Yeah.
But I didn't know going in. And probably if the fans knew, they'd probably be like, oh, great, another Khan movie.
Well, that's just... It was
the worst kept secret ever.
Because I didn't know it. So I guess it's pretty good.
The worst fans, ninja
ever. But
the fans knew that it was Khan. And it had been calling him out, this is Khan, for a year and a half.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams lies to you.
Yeah.
He's lied to me before.
He does that all
the
time.
He lied to me about Lost. Directly to my face. Like,
but that's just it. Why can't I have a kick-ass director like J.J. Abrams? I have great writing, and still they can't come up with anything more original. For God's sakes, is it that hard? Now, granted, this was a lot of safe things that they did in terms of story and plot, and they did carry it off pretty well. But you know, I enjoyed it while it was happening. But on further reflection afterwards, I kept saying, "Come on, you can do better than this."
Yeah, so here's the thing, though. The Khan story sucks dick. Like, it is a common story. Oh, this is a revenge plot because you did something to me. Okay.
I don't think it's that bad.
No. But what makes the story awesome is that you've been with Kirk for 30 goddamn years, and the subtext of the movie is all about him dealing with loss that he's never had to face. You have that relationship with Kirk that you do not have in this movie, so they try and jam in this thematic link that's just not, like, Kirk and Spock have known each other for, like, 6 months! So it's like, oh, you know, you've always been my best friend, but for 6 months? You're just some asshole! I don't even know your middle name!
It depends on if you buy the fact that they, like,
whatever, or simpatico, and they're like best friends. I mean, if you don't buy it, it doesn't work. I thought it was interesting to flip the story and make Spock be the one who had to feel something. I thought that was kind of cool.
That was, okay, I was fine with that, but here's the thing. That scene does not mean the same thing that it did in Wrath of Khan. Wrath of Khan was so goddamn cool.
Wrath of Khan was way more powerful because of what happened and why. And Wrath of Khan also has a spectacular setup.
It's a different story arc, though, too.
It is.
It's a different character arc completely, because in Wrath of Khan, it's all Kirk's character arc.
Yep.
Yeah.
In this one, it's all Spock's.
Which is fine, but don't use Khan then. He could have just been genetically engineered asshole number two.
Yeah, but then it would have been Khan. And you would have pissed enough people off that it would have been
Khan. See, I thought the thing with this was
just make him an alien.
I thought what this was about was the reason they brought Khan up as a writing is they used him.
There's a plot point there.
Yeah, they used him to demonstrate a metaphor for our current time, where we created this monster and now he's a terrorist and now we got to take him out. And the guy who says, you know, oh, I created this, let me fix it, wants to do it entirely on the down low, doesn't want to involve anybody.
First off, it's RoboCop.
Yeah, we're talking about RoboCop slash Batman.
Well, okay, but
stop. Don't bring him into this.
I still thought it was.
He is.
I know.
I still thought it was old metaphorical Batman. About. I thought it was basically like a political subtext in the movie where it was like, okay.
It was. We create the monster. We try to control it. The monster gets loose again. And we try to.
Spock wants to do things on the up and up. And because they've already created, you know, a secret world of warfare, you know, it kills the idealists, you know.
Okay, so
I like that message at the end, too.
Did anybody else just think he was going to say secret world of Warcraft?
Kind of. I like the message at the end that, you know, Spock's reason and logic will never fix the problem that him getting pissed and beating a dude with his fists will solve. Excellent.
See?
It's almost as bad
You're
as
turning into a conservative.
It's almost as bad as the ending to the goddamn A-Team where the entire movie, being Redkiss is like, you know, I don't really want to hurt people anymore. I'm kind of into this pacifism thing. And the other three guys are like, no, that's stupid. You need to kill people. And then the end of the movie, the big triumph is that he kills someone. What? That is the worst thing ever. You people are horrible. Drop a tank on somebody. God. You made me remember that. We're done.
I'm sorry.
We're done. Liam Neeson couldn't even save it. That was my big gripe of the movie. It didn't need to be Khan.
I was kind of happy it was, although I think they didn't take advantage at the end. They could have really built out the story, and they didn't.
I don't. You know what? I don't want them to build out that story anymore. I want them to get the thing with Star Trek is it needs to get out. It needs to get away from Earth.
Yeah,
they need to get away from Earth.
That may be true. Some whales.
Another problem they're going to have though is the 5-year mission is stupid for a movie.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
All it does is puts them out there. What happens out there is going to be the subject of the next.
It's just going to be episodes.
I don't think you know that's what it's going to be. I think it depends on, you know.
Well, we've already brought back Khan, so who else are we going to bring back?
Well, the next logical move is there's a big Klingon movie coming. I mean, they haven't had the Klingons.
There is going to be a Klingon movie.
And if you didn't do the Klingons, everyone would be pissed because
they're the biggest heavy of the whole series. Yeah,
exactly.
The thing is, this is
the Joker movie coming up now. This is the one where they're mature enough now, they're going to take on their big enemy, the Klingons.
There's going to be a Klingon movie. I would bet by the time they hit Star Trek IV, they're going to do a City on the Edge of Forever story.
Right. All right. Well, what's
the City on the Edge of Forever?
That's the Time Guardian.
It's a classic Trek, original Trek episode.
Okay.
It is really good. It's like one of the few original series episodes that I can actually watch.
Ironically, the only original episode I've seen, it's probably because it's the most popular one, is the one with Khan. It's probably because they syndicated so much.
Yeah.
You know what I loved? I loved the throwaway line that justified it. Hey, after all that stuff went down, they started searching deep space and they found us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's reasonable. RoboCop's looking. His visor.
He's looking for
stuff. Yeah,
stuff to help. He's looking for weapons.
You know, I'd be cool if the next movie takes place after the 5-year mission, or like the 5-year mission is cut short, and it is nothing but the Klingon War. Like Kirk is leading. Like
we need you to come back.
Space battles.
Yeah,
like, nothing but space battles.
We need you to come back and fight in the war.
Yeah,
you're on your pacifist mission. You have a seasoned crew in a ship that everybody's comfortable with, that doesn't have to get destroyed in the first 5 minutes.
You're still the flagship.
Yeah.
because for some reason we haven't advanced technology like we should have. It's confusing.
You're also, the flagship, except there's the Dreadnought.
Yeah, well,
what?
It was kind of, no, it's all jacked up in London now.
No, jacked up in San Francisco.
No, jacked up in London. Crashed in London, didn't it?
No, San Francisco. Actually, Berkeley.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were in London, but then they crashed.
No. Because the secret laboratory where they were making the weapons for Section 31, London.
Okay.
The Vengeance crashed in San Francisco.
Got it. Okay.
But as someone pointed out, the angle at which the viewpoint from which it was coming down at was not San Francisco, but it was actually Berkeley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a bunch of radicals anyway. No big loss.
I blame liberals. Thanks, Obama.
Well, I think, I guess one thing I want to say I think is great about the movie, which is why I love the first one, which is why I thought this one was really good. I think the actors and the characters are great. I mean, I think they do a great job infusing new life into old characters we already have templates for. I think they're great.
Well, it's
characters.
Also, they're getting to do more things that is only hinted at, too.
Yeah. 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 They have good rapport with each other. I mean, some of the comedy bits are great, you know.
Yeah, the witty repartee between them is, it's kind of like a kind of throwback, you know.
Yeah, it feels like a classic Trek.
This group of actors plays well together, they do good comedy together, and they make a fun movie.
Yeah.
I mean, even as dark as the subject matter was.
Well, that's
it wasn't that dark.
It wasn't that dark. I mean, I'm still looking for the darkness. There's an awful lot of streetlights around here that's keeping things.
There's an awful lot of lens flare from being into darkness.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't as dark as I thought it would be, but I still thought it was good.
You can't make
it was the darkest of the three prequels. So here's what confuses me and what bothers me about J.J. Abrams directing. So they've effectively cured all human illness with Khan's blood, but if we remember, humanity created Khan like 200 years prior. So they effectively cured death 200 years ago, but now death is still a problem.
I don't think they cured it, though. They wouldn't have necessarily known what they had created when they created.
So Bones was the first person in the history of whatever to take one of their genetically engineered people's blood and inject it into some necrotic tissue. And
maybe he was a member of the Federation. You know, I mean, people would know.
But Khan was engineered like 200 years earlier.
Yeah, but that's like saying, like, there are a lot of things that people have invented and they get lost for many years and then suddenly someone just rediscovers it as a technology and uses it in a different way.
We cured death. Is not one of those things that gets shuffled away.
Yeah, but just because they created a genetically engineered superhuman doesn't mean that they would know that his blood would heal people, I don't think.
Well, that's one of our plot holes there.
They revolted and fought back, and did they destroy the labs?
There's something there.
It's weird. Okay, so the one terrible plot hole this movie had. Okay, we have the worst of them was the fact that we need to get Khan back alive.
Yeah, that was dumb.
There was no reason for it.
Yeah, you had a million
reason for it was Spock's idealism, which I think had to do with the politics subtext in the movie.
It wasn't Spock's choice. Spock was going to kill him.
No, Spock was the one who said he wanted to try a trial.
It was Uhura that stopped him.
Oh, you're talking about at the end.
At the end.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the...
No, at the very end, when he's chasing him down, the Bones comes back and says, we need him alive.
They needed his blood.
No, you don't.
Why don't they need his
blood? You have 72 other people who have the same kind of blood.
That occurred to me, but then my immediate, my brain reaction was, okay, but maybe they don't know. Well, my mind was arguing with itself at that point. Because it didn't occur to me, but my...
because his balls were arguing the other way. We got to kick this guy's ass.
Right.
Like one of those metal ball things.
Exactly. That's what my mind was doing. And it was really annoying the people next to me. So anyway, my thought, though, was, okay, what if they don't know that they can revive the 72, or they don't know that the blood will work in the same way? They may not be the same guys.
Yeah.
So that was my immediate, like, I was like, all right, so I buy it. So I just was like, okay. I didn't think that was so much a plot hole as weak writing, but I didn't think it was, like, necessarily bad.
I thought they were doing something cool with the Tribbles. Like, Tribbles were normal until he injected it with Khan's blood, and then it reproduces everywhere.
That's what
That's where I thought they were going with it.
I thought so, too.
I'm like, huh, that's funny and clever.
I thought so. I thought that's where it was going to go, and then I realized, oh, wait, somebody's still going to die. That's what they're going to use that little hook for.
Oh, this is how they'll bring Spock back. Oh, wait, no, it's Kirk. All right, this is how they're going to bring Kirk back.
I knew it was going to be Kirk from the commercials.
I don't watch commercials, Tony. Come on, I don't have time for this.
All right. How do you guys ever enjoy movies anymore? You guys know too much going in. Too much.
It wasn't.
I deliberately block myself out.
They obfuscated it.
That's what I do, too.
They did obfuscate it, but you see, at one point, you see Spock hold his hand on the glass, and you're looking at him, and I said, oh, Kirk's going to die. I mean, it was just that him doing that far too much matched the scene of from Wrath of Khan.
But that's because you watched a preview.
It was a commercial. It was a 30-second commercial.
He was also Buckaroo Banzai. I really do.
It's true. He was.
Oh my God.
Peter Weller was Buckaroo Banzai also.
I turn the station, man. I try not to watch that stuff.
See, anymore. I don't.
Even the Superman stuff I didn't care about, so I watched it. I was like, all right, I don't care how.
So you know that Krypton hasn't exploded.
I don't know that, but.
Oh, you do.
Now I do. But see, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not like, oh, I'm devastated by this knowledge.
I think it's great. I think it's awesome.
Me and my dad had this discussion on the way back about all the reboots of popular stories and whatnot. And he started off in Superman in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started rebooting that immediately.
And he said, like, why did they just... He has the same sort of opinion I do. He says, why did they just keep retelling the same story over and over and over?
Because they have to keep their license.
He's seen every reboot. It'd be back to the 1930s.
Because they have to maintain their license. They have to keep the copyrights up.
Yeah.
That's it. You can't keep telling a 50-year-long story.
One generation will age out and don't know it and needs to restart it, so they need their own set of mythos. But, you know, we've all seen a lot of these things. There's enough continuity that you get tired of the constant restart because the only thing they're changing is just the wrapper. They aren't really changing the core.
I mean, we've been doing that with Legends for millennia.
Yeah,
all these are retold Legends. Yeah. They really are.
I mean, what I think is cool is you get to a point where you can have a story that you can reboot it and keep and thematically know who the characters are, what they are, what they're doing. I mean,
and within that, you can create new.
Well, you can see the interpretation, new
audience.
Interpretation by the actors, the director, and the writers. But I ain't seen that yet.
Okay.
They play it too damn safe.
So what did you think about the first one, the first Star Trek?
I liked it quite a bit. And I thought it took off in a nice direction because I actually get to see how Kirk becomes Kirk. Okay, why was he such a wild ass? Well, just the way his whole childhood started out. But it makes sense by the time he gets to Starfleet. And he's the unlikely one that actually gets put into, you know, it goes to the Starfleet. But there is a historical sort of relevancy here. Mm-hmm. George Custer, the general of notoriety, was the same way.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can take the thread of that story for a hero character, and you can inject it all over the place. That doesn't mean that Star Trek, like I thought the Star Trek movie 1, like we were talking about, like Adam was saying, it was pretty original.
A lot more original.
Yeah.
I wish this one had continued in that same vein. I really do. But it was a better than average Trek episode.
You hear the title a lot.
That's the only thing the thing about the Trek movies. They're just better than average TV shows.
Stop hitting the table.
Okay.
this doesn't match the passion of The Hobbit, though. That's a whole other level of passion. Well, I understand what you're saying. But, like,
I think comparatively, this was just a weaker movie. The first one, the stakes were higher. Mm-hmm. Like, they just committed genocide on an entire people.
Wiping out Vulcan in the first movie was pretty bold.
I think the biggest reason the first movie was successful for me personally was my expectations were lower. And the movie set my expectations high for this movie.
You know what? You know what's really interesting was watching this movie with Julie. Because the entire frame of reference that she has for Star Trek was the 2009 movie.
Nice.
And so now she has this.
2009?
Yes.
Nemesis?
No. First Star Trek.
The first Star Trek.
That was in 2009, really?
Yeah, that was in 2009.
Oh, wow. That is old. I thought it was
the
more
reboot.
Recent than
oh,
that.
Oh, no. No, the reboot was in 2009.
I thought it was only 2 years ago.
Nope.
No.
Nope. All right, That's her whole frame of reference of Star Trek.
Oh, I wouldn't go back and watch any of the other stuff then.
No. No. And now she's got this. So now she has an idea of the con story.
What'd she think of it?
She thought it was fine. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't know that it's derivative because she's not seen what it's derivative of.
You just made a new to me argument, Tony.
Yeah, it is. It's new to her.
And that's pretty much where this movie is aimed at.
He was a good con.
And that's the generation that really has not seen any of the previous stuff.
He was frightening. His intelligence was visible.
He was a good Sherlock.
Is that what he was before?
Yeah. That's his big,
he was in Atonement.
That's his big claim to fame.
He was the rapist. He was the rapist in Atonement.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes, rapist.
Yep. Yeah. I thought he was a great con.
I could see him being a good Sherlock Holmes. I haven't seen that, so I...
It's good. They're an hour and a half episodes, though.
Ugh. What I like about the Star Trek movies in this universe is that the future is not dystopian. It's not cheery. It just seems like it's as normal, probably, in terms of how things go as you can get. And so, I kind of liked it. So Khan wasn't like some crazy character, you know, with all this.
He wasn't that over-the-top, flamboyant, bombastic character that he was in.
Right.
Going against Shatner's Kirk,
right,
who was over the top and bombastic and flamboyant. I mean, those two paired off nicely together.
Yeah,
you know, Shatner and Montalban,
right?
They were good opposed to each other.
Well, yeah, because we had really up to this time, Ricardo Montalban was not seen in any of his previous roles as being that flamboyant.
Even Mr. Rourke wasn't that flamboyant.
No, and he was mostly not in very. He was. I don't think he had that many movie roles either.
Yeah, I don't think so. But what was interesting was this con seemed more lined up against Spock than against Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
It was very emotionless.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we had this discussion the other day.
Did we?
Yes.
Was it about butts?
Kind of.
You have to remind me because I have a lot of discussions about
cigarettes,
butts.
Of course.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Cigars.
Oh, okay.
All right.
What are you going to smoke a cigar? But. A big butt.
All right.
Tell your family
that. There is the potential that Khan wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah.
Until Kirk had him shot in the back.
Yeah, I would.
I kind of feel like that was a possibility there.
Yeah, I think that was part of the movie, wasn't it?
I kind of don't feel like it was.
No,
they didn't make that point obvious or clear. Khan's motives, granted, are suspect because you don't know if he's lying to you or not. But he stays true to Kirk, and once he gets on the ship, he stays true to his word to Kirk until he gets shot in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, understandably, he's kind of pissed off and then decides, you know what? None of you future people are worth my time, and I'm going to...
I thought that was part of it. I thought the whole thing about him telling his story in his cell, from that point on, you were kind of like, is he good or is he bad? At least in terms of his, like, principles. Is he, like, on the up and up, or is this a deception? I thought the whole point was you didn't know, and I think that continued.
I think the more interesting thing, where you said it could have stood for something a little more dark, and probably something a little more cerebral at the end instead of that long running fighting scene,
is to have
a situation where Khan and Spock face off and have a dialogue where he's like, look, I was helping you people. You fucking shot me in the back.
Yeah.
You know, what am I supposed to do at this point? I'm betrayed at every turn, and you've just betrayed me again, and you've captured my people again. You know, you've done nothing but lie to me. And if you look at that from Khan's perspective,
he's justified.
I kind of feel like that would have been a much better ending to the movie.
It would have been cool.
He convinces Spock, and Spock's like, "Yep."
I'll say this though: when he offers himself up automatically to surrender, you feel right off the bat like, "Okay, why does he want to get caught? Obviously, he's going to try to take over the ship." But maybe it was never Enterprises that he wanted to take over. Maybe he always just wanted to take over the big guy.
He knew that by getting to the Enterprise, he could get.
Well, right.
And
maybe he would have left the Enterprise alone. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but I think it's an interesting question.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I think that adds to that they could have done something there that would have kind of thrown even more question into and put a firmer sticking point into the idea that, you know what, sometimes you can't just break the rules. Sometimes you have to follow the rules. And that was the thing that Kirk has in this universe, he always seems to be rewarded for breaking the rules. He, at every turn, he's rewarded.
Because he has a mentor that's constantly shielding him, too.
But, not anymore.
Well, not anymore. He no longer has Pike to run interference. But one of the reasons that Pike selected in the first place was because he felt that Starfleet was getting way too bureaucratic in its thinking. And they needed the occasional wild man in there to shake things up.
See, that's kind of a problem, though, because you have somebody who's supposed to be
in a military structure.
Active and aggressive.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, there are examples of it all over the 20th century.
They're not supposed to be military.
Well, but what I'm saying
is... But under Weller's character, they're heading down a more military path. So it's like this confusion.
Well, that's the whole... That was the subtext.
That was the subtext of the whole thing. Yeah. Is he wanted them to get out there and become more aggressive rather than being the more pacifist explorer thing.
So why was Kirk the one fighting that?
They just sent Kirk out there as a lame duck, man. That was the whole point.
Well, more like
they wanted to start a war with the Klingons. That was the whole point.
They want to use him as
that was obvious.
Yeah. So what's the big deal about sticking him out there? That point.
Well, the idea is they can blame the thing on him.
It seems like Kirk is somebody you want to recruit and not somebody you'd throw out there to the dogs.
Well, you mean the old admiral? The old admiral doesn't care, and the reason the old admiral doesn't care is because Kirk already knows too much, so why not just send him out there?
Well, no, he's a good fall guy. I mean, we can blame the whole thing on he was just
a rogue officer.
He was a rogue officer.
Just
they're
back
not, so not surprised.
They're not looking. You know what? They're not looking to place blame on anybody.
Right. Yeah.
They want to start.
They're
a war.
They want to start.
They're
a
not
war.
Accountable to anybody. They just want to start a war.
And but when that. They want to start a war, they don't want it to look like it's their fault.
Why? Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Well, you want to get people
who's
behind you.
Who's going to question him at that point?
Yeah, they've already got the scapegoat. That dude bombed our cities. He was a Klingon agent. Done. Story over.
With the technology they have, they could just Photoshop the
Klingon. I mean, I don't think it's that simple because it's not that simple in the real world. You know, like, even when we said the same thing about hunting terrorists in Afghanistan and then hunting terrorists in Iraq, people were like, whoa, 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 we can't go to war in Iraq. And we've had that conversation for 10 years.
Here's the thing, though. One, this wouldn't be happening on one planet. And two, I don't think the Klingons would avoid the fight that way.
I think the Klingons are looking for any
reason. No, it's not the Klingons I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Federation being able to sell it to the civilized world.
I know, but the Klingons are a different race of people that's like, we're at war with the Klingons. Klingons are like, yeah, we're at war. Like, they're never going to say, we didn't start the war. They're just going to say, we're at war.
But it doesn't matter what the Klingons say. I'm talking about what the Federation wanted to say they didn't start the
war. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because you know what?
I don't think that's the way it plays, though. I don't think that's the way society interprets actions of its government.
Until you have Klingon warships headed towards your planet. At that point, doesn't matter. You need to protect yourself.
You need to fight.
And you need to fight the war, because at that point, the war is coming to you.
I understand what you're saying, but your original point was, why did they just send Kirk out there? It's a machination to create the exact scenario you're talking about. So they don't have to say that they started the war.
Right, but if you have somebody that would be the kind of person that would be that gung-ho action hero kind of guy, why are you sending him out instead of keeping him back? Keeping him back and letting him see that.
If I were the admiral, I wouldn't think that way. I mean, I wouldn't think, oh, this guy is going to. I mean, it's not like he's Schwarzenegger in, like, the Terminator.
Yeah, but
he's just a gung ho guy.
Here's what I would think.
You need gung ho guys to fly those ships into battle.
He's an admiral. The admiral's playing a long term chess game.
I know, but he's shitty
about one
at
guy.
It. He's shitty at it.
Well,
you don't send a guy who never.
That's why Khan's loose, but.
But you don't give the order to start the war to a guy who never follows orders.
Yes.
But he didn't. Well,
yes.
That makes no sense. You find somebody who's just going to blindly follow the order, and then
you start the war. Remember the plot.
You give spot
No. Hang on a second. Remember the plot of the story.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name who was killed? Pike. Pike was killed.
Kirk
was very emotional. He manipulated that emotion. Now, who's the one who broke the rules, though? Who's the one who can? Well, okay. So Kirk. Kirk broke the rules, but who's the one?
He broke them second.
Spock is the one who said, these are the rules that we should be following. These are the rules that you need to follow now. And he's the one who put Kirk on a different path than what Kirk was originally going to do. No. If there's anyone that the Admiral underestimated,
he was
going to
go back
Spock.
And just blow the shit out of him.
I agree with you. But that was not the Admiral's orders. The Admiral's orders were independent of the rules. The Admiral's orders superseded the rules.
Well, okay. But my point is that it wasn't... I don't think it would have been a problem to rely on Kirk's emotional captivation with taking out Khan. What I think he did was he underestimated Spock.
I agree.
And that's the real issue. And I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, should he have held Kirk back or not. I mean, I thought the plot actually held up pretty well there. I mean,
I think the real hero of this story is Scotty.
Scotty is the real hero of this story.
He is
he's the only one who has...
He was the only one that had the balls to stand up to Kirk and say, at the beginning, you are wrong. Yeah. This is dumb.
Yeah, this is
this
crazy.
This is not what we've signed on for. We are not a military operation.
Yeah, but did you see that chick? She was really hot. So whatever's in those things is probably fine.
And you know what? He's going to have a baby with her. So
it's true.
Frozen babies. Well, I don't know. They made a big point of Spock or of Khan kicking her in the stomach, so maybe she.
I thought he just broke her leg.
Well, they showed him kicking her right in the gut at one point.
I don't know, Tony
messed up her baby parts.
Yes, yeah, he also crushed RoboCop's face.
It's true, crushed like Batman's face too,
Transformer style,
and Buckaroo Banzai.
And Buckaroo Banzai. It was a dark day for Buckaroo Banzai.
That's the problem with this movie.
They just needed perfect lectoids. Tommy there.
Yeah,
take care of no black lectoids.
What?
Yeah, so that's why is it going to get racist all the time over here?
Yeah.
Like a Klan meeting.
Jesus. Did we bring
that's
the
what
bags?
We call accidental racism, according to...
I can't see anything out of this bag.
Brad Paisley.
If this...
Bringing back Django.
Oh, God.
If this is how you guys are going to treat the bags, my wife spent all day cutting holes in, and I'm just going to take them and go home.
No, we need the bags. We need the bags.
I can't see the damn bag.
God damn, that was good. So Melina watched that, like, when I was on my way here, and then... to do the episode, Melina was watching it. And I got home, and she's like, did everybody agree that once that guy died, the movie was over?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone agreed.
I saw her tweet that went to Facebook, and I liked
it. Stamp. Oh, so this movie ends at 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Yes, that is exactly true.
Yes, accurate.
All right, anything else about Into Darkness?
Mm-hmm. Turn on the lights.
Turn on the lights. It's over.
So, as far as predictions for the next movie, Klingon War?
God, I hope so, but they're going to do something stupid. I would actually be okay with an Undiscovered Country Klingon War-style movie, like a mashup.
Yeah?
I'd be okay with that.
Klingon War.
I want to see them go at it.
How soon are they going to bring the Borg into this?
Hopefully not.
No, they won't.
You don't think so?
No.
The Borg are too...
They're too overpowering character.
There's no interesting story with the Borg.
No,
they just show up and you fight them.
First Contact was a good movie, though.
First Contact was a great movie. Star Trek.
That was an interesting, yeah, it was an interesting Borg movie because of the way they decided to use the Borg. I mean, it's just, you're right, the Borg is a symbiote. But they had that queen or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was more interesting.
Yeah, that hot, wriggling spine.
And the fact that what's-his-face was so emotionally... traumatized by his new feelings or whatever.
Yeah.
The man of feel.
He was the man of feel. Dude, he even gets shot at one point and the bullets bounce off of him after he leaps down the silo. Oh my God.
Yep.
And Geordi had his creepy new eyes. Listen, I've seen this movie a lot of times.
I guess that's it.
Zefram Cochrane.
Yep.
Welcome.
Good name.
That's right. Sounds a little too much like Cochrane for my taste.
I like his taste in missiles.
Chicken ring.
All right. Well, with that, I guess we're done.
Yep. Long live the Erectioneers.
We're going to rock out the Sunday, you win.
Unfortunately, I'm working.
That's the worst thing you've ever heard. It's a fact.
All right. We'll see you next week with Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Woohoo! Beast your Southern Wild. Oh,
God, it worked!
Our Southern Wild?
Oh. Band name.
I'm going to review Beast of the Southern Wild as well as Transformers Beast Wars. All four seasons. Yeah. Beast Wars was great. Optimus Primal. Turned into a big ape. Okay, you know what's up.
What time are you guys getting together on Sunday?